The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on earth, nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Whenever the season of Advent, the new year of grace, comes around, this year a year of mercy, I hope that you feel, like I do, a great deal of hope, because God has given us the gift of another year. God has given us an opportunity to grow. God has given us another chance to do things right that perhaps in the past we have done wrong. The symbol of hope in the first reading today is this new and heavenly Jerusalem, this new Jerusalem that God promises to his faithful. And if you think about God's promises right away, if you just think logically, you'll realize that God doesn't promise anything to us that's going to pass away. So if it's a car, or if it's a house, or if it's something like that that you want God to promise to you, that's probably not going to come from God. But he might give you the ability to make that happen. He'll give you the strength to bring it about. But that's not God's intention. Anything that's passing away, including things like politics and land and nations, they have nothing to do really with God. I think about this Jerusalem because it's a place that's very dear to me, the existing Jerusalem. And then I think about the new Jerusalem. What does God mean by that? There is a separation that takes place, I think, in people of the world today. You can see it in the state of Israel in a certain sense, because the Jewish people that you'll meet will immediately tell you that the state of Israel really has nothing to do that much with religion. That there is a kind of a split that's taken place where people might describe themselves as cultural or practicing. I've heard many Catholics use this lately, this idea, "I'm cultural Catholic." I actually don't know what that means, because to be Catholic means to do something. Not just to be something, it's to do something. It's more of an active understanding that we have about who God calls us to be. For people who would describe themselves as cultural and not practicing, I think I would say that just means maybe they've forgotten the promise that God gave to his chosen people, or maybe they never understood it at all. This new Jerusalem, this kingdom that God promises, is something that will not pass away. So as we think about what are those things that do not pass away, St. Paul uses the words Strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness, so that you might be ready at the coming of the Lord. Those will be things, our hearts, that will not pass away. It's a covenant that God is trying to build with his people. This is covenant language. That we might be members of his royal house, not our own. His nation, not our nations. His kingdom, not this world. There is in our understanding of God's call to the Jewish people and his covenant a kind of attention that we encounter every once in a while in dialogue, especially when you start to think about the way God's salvation history is unfolding in the world today. On the one hand, we say God makes no mistakes, so he called his chosen people to a covenant in the Old Testament, and God would never revoke a covenant, so in a certain sense, we realize that God chose these particular people to be faithful to himself. And those who are faithful to that covenant, we believe, have just as much of a chance to be saved as we do. But at the same time, we know that God's covenant included an intention to be fulfilled. And as Christians, we recognize that fulfillment at the Last Supper, in the Eucharist, in the Passion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. That the work of redemption is at hand, literally, is at hand, our work, the work of redemption. And it's something that God has called us to be a part of, not an observer, but a participant. How many times in the gospel does Jesus say something to the effect of, "See, I have come to do something new. I have come to do something new." Can you see it? He asks. Can we see it? There's a lot of darkness in the world today. One of the things I find most frustrating is if I'm in a restaurant where the light is low, or if I'm in a theater trying to read the little book before the show starts. The little type that you can never read in low light, this is one of my greatest frustrations. I don't think they make glasses strong enough to do this kind of sight. Here at the season, now at the beginning of Advent, we've got one light to go by, this one little candle in front here. Is this light enough for you? I think if you would consider yourself culturally Catholic, the answer is no. Because there has to come with that light an internal faith and a hope that magnifies this light. I'll never forget the day I discovered how in colonial times they put a mirror behind the light because literally it makes twice as much. Remember? So if you just be a mirror to that light, you're going to double it in the world. So we're given this gift of light to do something with it, not just to sit in the dark. We have to hope in God's word. This is the other thing that will never pass away. Jesus says, "My word." All things will pass away, but my word of salvation will never pass away. So the point of Advent is that we learn how not to miss that word when it comes. We will celebrate that word in 5 short weeks. Because our world is passing away. Do you remember 5 years ago, last weekend, when we were renovating all of our facilities here? We were talking about the kind of building that we would do. We were just now to the point of doing the courtyard meeting room here back in the back and doing this beautiful courtyard outside. And I remember the architect asking me at that time, "Would you like to pay for a 50-year structure or a 75-year structure?" Because 75 years costs more than 50. I said, "I would like to build a building that will last forever." And he said, "You're dreaming. Because there's nothing we can make that's going to last forever." So he repeated the question, "Do you want a 50-year structure or a 75-year structure?" I said, "Well, our retirement age is 75, so let's go for 75. The premise, of course, is that nothing we're going to build is ever going to last. It isn't going to last. This sounds very Buddhist, I guess, and the Buddhists have a very good track on this idea that everything is passing away. In fact, everything is passing away, but the only thing that I think we would disagree with is that we would say you and I are not passing away because we are immortal. We're not going to come back as something else with a different identity. You and I are going to last through whatever it is that is coming. We are not going to end. Jesus also said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. So in the gospel today, he says then, stand up tall and face the light, no matter how small that light might be. One candle is enough for us today because we remember that redemption is coming. God has promised this new Jerusalem in our own hearts. Jesus is coming. One last reflection today. This one candle that we have before us in this Advent wreath is a light that prefigures another light. In 19 weeks, we will celebrate the Easter Vigil. I would almost like to ask all of you to make a commitment today to enter into the mystery of this cycle of liturgies right now, all the way through the end of Easter and beyond. It's only 19 weeks this year from now until the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus at the Easter Vigil. That Easter Vigil, after which we hear Jesus say on the cross, it is finished. The work that begins today with one light is completed in the light of another candle. When we sing the glory of that light at the Easter Vigil, that Easter candle that sits dark now, unless we're celebrating a baptism or a funeral, that light of Christ, which we will bless, which will give new life to the world. On that night, we sing that by the light of that candle, the night will be as bright as the day. The night will be as bright as the day because of the presence of Jesus. For 19 weeks, let this presence of Christ in your life grow. From one little candle, reflect that light, multiply it. When the Word is made flesh and becomes visible to the whole world, become one who proclaims that Word. And by paying attention to our lives throughout this period of time, let us be prepared for the new life that never ends. Because Jesus says, behold, I come to do something new.